Happy birthday, Lori. Happy birthday to you.
I'm like some people that are trying to be like, if mom is coming off, I thought she was
fucking.
Okay. Well, I did have this experience this week about we were talking at the time of this talk and sharing our vision, and I've been using Vivian and his wife and so these are a couple things that I noticed, and I felt like I just need to share them with you guys. I don't know what I found out was like we started on Monday, what I was noticing was, you know how sometimes you can like really like it, and other times like something like this is really hard. And so along the way I thought I inside myself and then I was speaking out loud. This is wrong about me, this is where it comes out, whatever. So I was looking out, I felt like condemned. Like I had all these feelings of conversations. I don't know if I was always thinking like that or if I was just like I said, that. But I looked up this word and then like, oh. So I just wanted to share it. It says to express an unthinkable or adverse reaction. The guilt of the house to be unfit for administration. The forming of the state or to declare. And so while I was really recognized that this speak, I was reminded of the story of the account in the Bible about the woman that was caught in adultery and what he said. Let's not share that. In John 8, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. This isn't like, you know, somebody told that you know, this is what she did. So I imagine that she felt completely paralyzed and full of fear. Just like the Jews. They said to Jesus, teacher, this woman was taught in the back of the book in the law of Moses and other things. Now, what do you say? So, he says, and it kept on questioning him, he said that any one of you is about to know that you do for the world. I think you speak from the world of the world. And this, when he heard, he came to go over the world. They were the ones first, but only Jesus was left, but the ones that he made. This is what he was saying. Jesus heard that they had their warning. But that says, why didn't something something? And so it's like, this is what I recognize this week. It's like when I hear this little cat, you know, this, it's like, wow, you guys have to change. When I mess up, trust me, this is what I'm using cat. And there's like so much love all around me that is going to be bad, and I'm like, holy God. But one of the things that I've been really learning since I've come back, as I keep learning, okay, is communicate. I'm not really a very good communicator. You guys But it's like, he's talking about it, okay? So he's taking an example, and it's like, oh, we got one, and go to the office. And different kinds of things. So it's like, that kind of thing I know I can do, but once I check that, you know, this, or that, blah, 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 you know, you guys can do, I'm sure some of you, and it's just like, hey, stop. Just stop. That's just not the truth. Just not. And I gave you this picture, for it, so it was like, I know a lot of them. Like, one little tiny thing, if you put it in somewhere, they will think they would like, let's place this, they would like, let's do this. So it's like, if he puts into one little box, and you don't say, hey, stop, you know, that's not. It's just not what you said. That is just really, really, really. So the picture that I had was, field or a forest or whatever you want to picture in your own mind. There was like all these lots. And back in the old days here in America, they had this thing called slash and burn. And they, were tiny little bit thin, they would cut all the trees and then they would burn the field. And then they would plant something and they would do the tussle. And so that's why I call on really the fire of the Holy Spirit, that he would come today in our lives, in my life, and in people's lives today. That he would come and he would just rip through here with a fire, that flaming fire. And that it would destroy, it would burn not only under the top, but even under the ground, and it would destroy the roots. And we will go nowhere, and we will be paralyzed over a year in the headlights, and that's what he wants. And if there's anything that I don't want, because I don't want to have anything, I want to do that. And so, let's just let it come for the next second.
Thanks, Lori. That's actually a really good lead-in to all I got have for us today. If you have your Bibles, we're going to open up to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, and we're looking at verses 45 through 51. And that's just such a good word going into this. The direction I'm taking with this is a more positive direction, encouraging direction, but it's also a passage of scripture that I think could be used by the enemy to condemn us, and that's not what I'm here for, and that's not what I'm going to speak about today. But there is truth in here, and truth is that thing that sets us free. We don't like to hear the truth all the time, but it is that thing that sets us free. And so it's important for us to hear the truth. And so we're going to take a little while, we're going to talk to the truth today, and not condemning truth, but truth, so that we can get set free. Any volunteer, Matthew 24, 45 through 51, either from your Bible, there's some screen up here. If you'd like to read that, you got to do that. Nick, you want to read that? You got it?
Who that is the wise servant who in master is in charge of serving his household, who gives them their food and brushes household? It will be good because the servant has the time to use his own. Thank you.
Thank you, man. Yeah, no, that was good. As you read this passage of scripture, what you see here is Jesus really speaking toward the future. He is talking to these people then, but he's also speaking to us. He's speaking toward the future and for a time when these people will be going about the business that he gives them to do. And this was given to us as a warning. It was given to us as a word of instruction. And really, as I read this, I began to think about what it means to find our place in the kingdom and what that means for us. That when we find that place, we find that place of service, we find that place where we kind of fit in and we can work for the work of the kingdom, the work of what God has for us, that is the place that's key to our long-term happiness. In verse 46, in this version here, it says that it will be good for that servant. Now, some of your Bibles probably say, blessed is the servant. And there's that word blessed is really kind of a key word because it means more than just it's good, but it means it's good in a big way. That word blessed is the same one that's used in the Beatitudes where Jesus said, blessed are the poor in heart and all those guys. And what that word means, it means extreme happiness. It means to be very happy. And in a state that you should be congratulated. Right? And so you look at that, it's like, well, it feels good. I mean, that is a translation that it will be good, but it'll be really happy. You'll be in a state where it's like you should be congratulated. If you can find that place of service in the kingdom, your place of service in the kingdom, not any place, really, but your place. And it's in that place, your place of service in the kingdom, is where there's really a long-term habit of overall well-being in relationship with God. That's where that is. Now, when I first became a Christian, I didn't know what that was. I didn't know where I was supposed to serve, what I was supposed to do. And when I went to talk to somebody about it, say, hey, you know, what do you want me to do? They gave me all these tasks to do, like scrape the side of a house, or clean this, or move that, or do all those things. And so my first area of service in the kingdom was really just doing a lot of work, was doing a lot of manual labor, and paint this or whatever, prime that. And so anytime I finish a task, I go back to the guy and say, hey, you got something else for me? He said, yeah, and he sent me out to do something else. And I just said, you know, thing after thing after thing. Now, would that be my ultimate place of service in the kingdom? Well, it could have been. It didn't turn out that it was. And so what I encourage people to do is, yeah, do something. All right? Find something to do and do it. And especially if you don't know what it is, you might not know what it is specifically. You're supposed to put your hand in something and do it. That's fine. But don't let that be your lifelong goal to do anything. You want to find out what God has for you. You want to find out where God has given you a place in His kingdom, in His service, and plug yourself in there and do it. And even when you find that out, that can change over time because you grow, and God grows you in what you're doing. And so you grow through that, and then there's something else, but it needs to start somewhere. And if you've been a new believer, you've just been plugging in wherever, that's fine. And like I said, I encourage people to put their hand to something and do it. But really make it a matter of your own self, like a matter of your own heart, and you praying about that. Say, God, what do you want me to do? What do you have to do? Where do you want me to plug in this work that you're being done? I mean, it's just a worldwide work. It's something God's doing everywhere. And so you need to find that place, you need to find that spot, you need to find that thing that God has for you right now. Plug yourself in and do it because there is a place of happiness. There is a place of growth in your relationship with God. There is a place that God has laid out for you so that you can become the person you want to be. And like I said, it's a fluid thing, a growing into kind of a thing. But the thing you have to always remember is this Christianity. You don't hear me talk about this a lot. We model this more than we talk about it. But I want to say it today. Christianity is a service. That's what it is. That if we're going to call ourselves Christians, that means that we serve. We are servants at the core of our being. And that's who God is. God does not call Christians to be servants. He calls Christians to serve. He calls us to serve. And so I just wanted you to keep that in mind as we go into this. And the question is asked to be in this passage. It says, who is a faithful and a wise servant? Who is that? He describes him. He says, well, the faithful and wise servant is the one the master gives responsibility to. So, that's a bad word, right? Responsibility? Right? I mean, am I missing something here? Who wants responsibility? Well, if you're a good and wise servant, that's your reward. That's your reward for being a good and a wise servant, especially in the kingdom, is that you're given responsibility. I mean, that God hands you something that is of His, what He does, and He says, here, I'll give you this to do. And so, what does responsibility mean? Means you do it when you feel like it? No. It means...
It's awesome.
No. It means that you got a responsibility. No. Responsibility speaks the first thing to me. It speaks to leadership. Being willing to stand up and to do what you're supposed to do, no matter what others around you are doing. To be willing to know what that thing is you're supposed to do and to do it. Okay? That's what a leader does. And we talk about leaders being, you can find leaders by who follows them, but I don't think that's a good way to define that. A leader stands up and does what he or she is supposed to do, regardless of what other people are doing. Alright? That's what a leader is. So, the leader stands up, does what he or she is supposed to do. I think administration is part of responsibility. In other words, something needs to get done. If you have a responsibility, it's one thing to say you have a responsibility, it's another thing to see it through. People love titles, people love, I'm in charge of this. Yeah, what are you doing with that? Nothing. And you're in charge of nothing, alright? Because being in charge of something means something is going on. So, there's a certain amount of administration involved in responsibility, but also a certain amount of provision. And making sure things are provided for, things are being done through that administration. So, you're getting the fruit that you're hoping to get. And so, who is the faithful and wise servant? The faithful and wise servant is him who, or she, who, her, who God has given responsibility. Now, that can take a lot of different forms. You can start small and grow. In other words, I was given responsibility over the paint scraper. All right, when I first started, it was small, but it was mine, and I would take care of it. And I was to wield it and use it appropriately and not break it because it's the only one we have. So it seemed kind of small and kind of stupid, but that was my responsibility. And so then I was supposed to take care of whatever it was I was supposed to do or paint this or whatever. All right? But it was seeing it through, getting it done, doing the best job that we can, and making sure that we fulfill that which we asked to do. Now, like I said, verse 26, that word blessed is there, or blessed, or whatever you, however you say it. It's right, the first word. And you're looking at that, it said in verse 46, that it would be good, or blesses the one. Alright? Blesses the one, that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. So in other words, is he being watched this whole time? No. He's been given the responsibility, he's been entrusted with it. And I think trust is an important word here. So when God gives us something to do, or we're given something to do, there needs to be a certain level of trust in that. And he says, well, go do that. It's not that he's watching over your shoulder, making sure it's happening every single second. That's your responsibility that you get it done in what he's asked you to do. And so this parable, the master just leaves. He leaves him alone to get done what he's asked him to do. And so when he comes back, for whatever reason, not necessarily to check on him or anything else, but when he comes back for whatever reason, God says blessed or happy or congratulations in an order to the servant who's doing what he's supposed to do. Now when does he come back? Whenever. Does it matter? No. Because the real issue isn't whether or not he comes back or he checks on you. He gives us a responsibility. And he expects that we do what he asks us to do. There's a certain amount of independence in that, but a certain amount of guidance in that too, that he tells us what he wants done. But independence is what he's going to do. Now see, there's a real problem, we'll see this with the wicked servant, when we think we have to have somebody watching us all the time to get anything done. We've got an issue with that juice. Right? There's a real issue in our lives when we feel like somebody has to keep us under the gun in order to get it done. Sorry. But I want you to think about that. I read articles and I understand there are certain people that feel like they need a certain amount of oversight. Right? Maybe the way they were brought up, maybe the kind of jobs they've had during their lives, but the kingdom doesn't exactly work that way. The kingdom works in such a way that it's given something to do and it's expected to do it. So, the servant does it, and if he does it, then what happens? A pattern of suffering rotates. In other words, servant does what he's supposed to do, the master comes back. He sees good being done. And so what does he do? He gives him more to do. Now, does this sound like a reward to anybody, or does this sound like more work? Because if you think about the real implication of this, is that if you go about the business that God's given you to do, you do what he's asked you to do, he'll give you more to do. So you got a certain amount of responsibility, you're doing it, you put your hand to it, you get the responsibility, you're going through it, you're making sure everything's done. Well, the reward for doing that is that you get more, and you get more to do. And nobody wants to hear that. Nobody in the kingdom wants to hear that the reward for doing what you're supposed to do, the reward for being responsible for what God has given you to do, is that you get more to do. But that's the nature of the kingdom. That's the nature of how it works. You do a good job, you get more jobs. You give your responsibility, you get more responsibility. You apply yourself, you get more to apply yourself to. So we're going to contrast this. Who's the evil servant? Who's the evil servant? I mean, if we just ask the question, who's the faithful and wise servant? So now, who's the evil servant? Evil servant. Well, some of your Bibles say, and you look up on the screen to see what it says there, but it says, but suppose the servant is wicked, and there's a little phrase there, it says, and says to himself. Some of your Bibles say, and says in his heart. There's a big issue with that. And I've noticed that the people just don't believe that there's really an issue with that. But there is a problem with the heart. The Bible talks about a real problem with the heart. And this servant, the wicked servant, is defined by the first action that he takes. And that is, he says in his heart. Okay. You know, look up Jeremiah 17:9. It's a well-used, worn-out verse, but now we need to look at it. Jeremiah 17:9. Go ahead and read it in your Bible if you have it. Just read it over a second. And I'm going to do something I rarely do. After you find it in your Bible, I want you to look up on the screen. Jeremiah 17:9. And I want to ask you to read this with me. This is the reality. I'm just asking you to read the Bible. This is the Bible. I'm not making this up or anything. I want you to read it with me. Okay, I'll start it. You guys just kind of follow in if you feel like it. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? All right, if you're in your Bibles, you can see who can understand it because the next verse tells you, God, but not me or you. And the issue that we have is that we live in a society where a lot of people just say, follow your heart. People say that all the time, follow your heart. Follow your heart. The problem with a Christian following his or her heart is that the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Well, the only one that can know it is God. And if you're going to be asking God what's in your heart so you can follow, why don't you just ask God what you're supposed to do? If you're following what I'm saying. That we have to be super careful about that saying, follow your heart. Not the saying, I mean, but the actual doing. That we need to have a different understanding. That doesn't mean we need to be correcting people. Oh no, we can't follow our heart because the Bible does. Don't do that. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to me, all right? You, all right? Us. That we need to be careful with this because The heart
is deceitful.
Our hearts are very deceitful. They're in a bad relationship. You know that. All right? Isn't that a big mystery? And we follow our heart, and you know, we're just bad things going on, and we should never have gotten there and done that. Why do we ever do that? Well,
the greed. The heart is deceitful of all things. You know it. So the wicked servant says in his heart, what he says?
Says something. But in his heart. Oh, but in his heart, it must be good, right? He's following his heart. But what's his heart telling him to do? What'd he say? He said, hey, this pastor's been gone a really long time.
It's funny.
And I don't think he's coming back. That's what he says in his heart. So, I will do, listen, I will do what I want to do. That's what he said. I will do what I want to do. And let me just give you a big check on that. When you catch yourself in that moment, and I hope you can catch yourself, where you're thinking in your heart, where you say to yourself, I'm going to do what I want to do. Whoa. Just whoa. Slow down a second. Now, there are those times where what we want to do lines with what God wants to do, and we're okay. But you may want to slow down for a second. If you catch yourself in that moment, when you say, I'm going to do what I want to do, and slow everything down a second, pray about it. Just whoa. Let's say 9 times out of 10. You might want to read the book. There are a lot of times where I want to do something that isn't God. Most times, almost all the time. And he uses all these phrases. I'd rather, I like better, I prefer, I have a better idea. You know, there's nothing wrong with any of those statements per se. All I'm saying is check it out. Just check. Check it. And if you're thinking those things, you're thinking those things that, okay, I'd rather, I have a better idea, I'm thinking this, I'm thinking that, just stop for a second and check it. Whoa. Because the wicked servant says in his heart, I will do what I want to do. Now his attitude was, no one will know. The master's gone, he's been out a long time, no one's going to know. I'm just going to do what I want to do. I'm just going to do what I want to do. Now, honestly, don't we all kind of think that way? I mean, honestly, whether we're at a job, or whether we're in school, or whether we're just in our normal lives with our parents, do you remember back to your parents, you know, living in the house? No, no, no. Maybe I'll just do this. There's something in us, there's some nature in us, very human about it, that says that. And our hearts are very deceitful when it comes to those kind of things, because we can talk ourselves into anything. Just about. You talk yourself just about anything. You take long enough to do it, and you let it run away long enough. In your heart, in your mind, you can talk yourself into doing just about anything. No matter how evil it is, how depraved it is, how much it's going to hurt somebody else, if it's going to affect other people. You can talk yourself into doing just about anything if you take long enough to do it. That's why you have to stop it. That's why you need to put the brakes on it when you start to see yourself in that situation where I'm just going to do what I want to do. You put the brakes on it. I'd rather, I like better, I prefer, I have a better idea. Just put the brakes on it and check. Just check it. Before you talk yourself into something that you're going to regret. Before I talk myself into something that I'm going to regret. I have to put the brakes on it. Now you go down to the bottom of this, and of this passage, and you see the master comes back. And he's none too happy because he got the wicked servant who, you know, he checked, he followed his heart, you know, he said to himself, this guy's gone, no one's going to know, I'm going to do what I want to do. And so he did what he wanted to do, you see what he did, he beat the other servants, okay? And then he hung out with, he ate and drank with drunkards, he said. That was his fun time, that's what he did. And so the master comes back and he finds him in this state. And the Bible says it, that he cut him in pieces, or literally cut him in two. Cut him in two. Well, wasn't he already in two? Was he already divided? Was he already conflicted? Because, listen to these two statements. I am a servant. Which implies one master, one under order. I am a servant, first statement. The second statement, I do what I want to do. Is there anything conflicted about those two statements?
Yeah.
They are in nature. Because if we're a servant, if we are a servant, we have a master who's given something to do, then that's what we're doing. And our biggest prayer is that our will be conformed to this. So that we're not living a conflicted life. That we bring our will in line with what he has. We bring our wants in line with what he has for us. We bring our desires in line with what he's provided. We bring ourselves in line with him. That's how we solve the conflict. That's how we solve that division that takes place in our life. And when the master came back, he just cut him in two. Why? Because he wasn't free. There's something physical that took place in the parable that really was already done. It was represented in the nature and the actions of the servant. That he had already been divided. He had already been conflicted. He had already been gone in two different directions. Between I'm a servant and I do what I want to do. So we need to solve that. And the only way to solve that, you're not going to talk God into what you want to do. He's already got it figured out. And I know you're smart, I know you can, you know, you got it all together, but he's going to do what he's going to do. And he is master of the universe, and he knows everything, he's all powerful, and he's everywhere all the time. I mean, those are the qualities of God. And so he's going to do what he's going to do. You're not going to talk him into your agenda. You're not going to talk him into your idea or what you want to do. He's got it. So what we need to do, and what needs to be, and the only way I know to solve the conflict, is to bring ourselves in line with what he has for us. Whatever that is. And ultimately, bringing ourselves in line with what he has for us, like I started off the thing with, is that it brings us to that place of long-term happiness in our life. That place where we're in that state where we need to be congratulated. That place where we find peace and we find rest in our relationship with God. That's where it is. And if you are a rebellious person by nature, you're going to have to fight that. If you are a person who is a super-duper independent thinker, which I am, you got to fight it. Because there are those times where that's going to be blessed and where God honors it, but there are going to be a lot of those times where it's going to need to come under and you're going to need to do what God's supposed to do. When I first came into ministry, that was a hard thing for me because I was underneath guys that I thought was super old-fashioned, super backwards, and super doing whatever the heck they've been doing for the last 50 years. And that was just the nature of it. That's what I came in under. But under that kind of leadership, I learned a lot of great lessons. I learned a lot of great lessons about why things are done the way they're done. I learned a lot of great lessons about why things make sense in those kind of circumstances. Why it's a safe way to do these. All these different lessons that I learned just by submitting. Even though I thought I had a better idea, I thought I had a better way to do it, I thought I could improve things 100%, I thought I could serve, you know, figure out ways to serve people a lot better, and all of that kind of stuff. I thought I had it all figured out, and these guys were just dumb. But these guys have been doing it for 20 or 30 years, they were directing me and helping me and instructing me. Turns out, knew what they were talking about. And I may not do it the same way now that they do it, but it's from a different perspective than when I started with. I'll tell you that. And so God teaches us things through our submission. And even through our submission to who we look over. But there are always those things that, you know, that I was coming up to as a sister pastor or a youth pastor, or I was doing whatever it is I was doing that I would disagree with, but not that good. And so I did what he asked me to do. Now, who is the evil servant from each divide? And the scribe finds his place among the hypocrites. Or are hypocrites, they just people who do that. Do something that they want. In the simplest form, they can do something that they want. What is the Christian? So, if you call yourself a Christian, you're not a servant. So, again, I'm glad Boris started this because this is not a moment of time. And I feel that way, it's not. This is a moment of truth, and it's a good moment of change. Okay, truth is there. And so I just wanted to think about where you're at, who you are, kind of place you are before God among his people.
I'm just trying to figure out,
what's my place? Where is my place to serve? Where is my place in him? And maybe you don't have the exact answer to that right here and right now. And so my instruction to anybody that's new or that's trying to figure that out is put your hand to something and do it. Serve somewhere, do something, learn something. But if you've been around for a while, you've been serving, you've been putting hands and stuff, really take a matter of prayer and say, God, where do you have to be? Where do you have to be? Where do you want me to be? What have you laid out for my life or my time in the kingdom? And find that spot because that's where that happiness is. Look where that blessing is. That's where that well-being and our relationship with Christ is. There's a lot of frustration outside of that. There's a lot of meaningless outside of that. Meaningless stuff outside of that. But there's a lot of growth and a lot of... I think this is a powerful relationship building. I'm going to ask you to just stand up for a moment. Just going to respond. But some of us, we need to bring our lives together. And that's the last thing I want to say, is that if you're living conflicted, you need to bring it together. And if you're a Christian, you say, I'm a Christian, but you're not a servant, you need to bring it together. You say you're a servant, but you do what you want to do, you need to bring it together. Constantly. But the God wants to live in the world. So whatever you're doing today, bring it together. If you're seeking God, you're saying, what do you have for me? What do you want me to do? Spend a little time asking that. Let's take a moment and ask this problem. Really, the most important thing you can do for all day is respond to what God is saying. Maybe there's some words spoken earlier in the service, some prophetic words or prophetic pictures that came forth that spoke to you, respond to that. It may be intertwined in some of the things you're hearing right now, respond to that. Something you heard in 5 minutes, you need to respond. The Lord said, you need to respond. This isn't a moment of condemnation, this is a moment of change, this is a moment of freedom. This is a moment of life. This is a moment of getting together in our lives. Not dwelling on the past, but looking at the moment now and at the future of life in front of us. What do you say? Have you talked to God about it?
invite you to prayer. You can come on up front, find a seat here in the front row, and I want to encourage you to come